black hope, sorrow, and resistance.
Black is you, black is me, black is us, black is free, black is me.
Yo, peace, this is Rod Stars.
Peace, this is G1, and together we're Rebel Diaz. When we in the DMV, you know we're listening to that People Power Radio, WPFW Washington, your station for jazz and justice. Let's go.
This is a journey.
I got so much trouble on my mind. Refuse to lose. Here's your ticket.
He is amazing. I didn't know nothing about it.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Say what you say, say what?
I don't want to be like Mike.
Before Magic's knees go permanently south for the winter.
I don't want to be like Mike.
Changing up the guard quicker than fear brings down doo-doo.
With the finger roll, plus the foul.
Hey, young bro.
He never saw Elgin Baylor play during his day or Oscar Robinson.
Flash the dice roll back. The big O was jackknifing through all them bodies.
I didn't know nothing about it.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Collision. This is where sports and politics collide here at your home for Jazz and Justice, 89.3 FM, WPFW. We have so many stories to report on today at this collision. We all know what's happening in the world, but do you know how the sports world is responding to this moment? We're also in Fun Drive, of course, 202-588-9739, or go to WPFW.fm.org. Support the collision, support what we're doing, support WPFW and independent media at a time when so much media is, of course, and we know it, bending the knee, and not in a Colin Kaepernick way either. Joined as always by the great Chuck Modiano. Atan not here this week. We got Chuck though, and that's more than enough. Chuck, so much to cover. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. We're not bending the knee here, you know that. When we bend the knee, it is like Colin Kaepernick. So I'm doing great. How about yourself?
Man, I'm doing great. And actually, that's something I want to talk about when we talk about some of these protests that are happening right now. Mm. I've got some Kaepernick parallels. Yep. But before we go there, Chuck, I said we're going to talk about how this moment connects with sports and politics. And I wanted to know if you heard what happened yesterday with former NFL punter and one-time guest on this show, actually. Chris Cluey.
Oh yeah, I heard Chris Cluey. I tweeted about it right away, and you know what? If you thought
I got the
Chris
text Cluey, in front of me, should I read that before your analysis?
I think you should read it. You're always good at that. I skipped past the part assuming the people listening heard what he said. Go for it.
Oh no, that's what makes the collision so great is that we pick out these stories that maybe people have missed because you know they're either just looking at the sports. Or just looking at the politics. You and me live in that space in between. We want more people living in that space, but That's right. Also know that sometimes it's a bit of a lonely road.
That's right.
So, Chris Cluey. Oh, excuse me. I just knocked over some books. Chris Cluey, former NFL punter, several teams in which he did that for, always outspoken when he played. White dude. I always think that's important to say in these contexts because we always want to make sure folks know who are putting their bodies on the line in that in this case. And we always know, too, that people who are less vulnerable to the criminal justice system, to institutionalized racism, really are the people that need to step up right now. And I want to tell you what Chris Cluey did. He went to the city council of Huntington Beach, California, where he lives. And for folks who don't know, Huntington Beach, California is not Santa Monica. It's not Venice Beach. It is ground zero for some of the most disgusting right-wing movements in the history of this country, John Bircher Central, and it is ground zero for the MAGA movement on the West Coast. And this is especially true in the elected representatives. Now, the city council had voted to spend $7,000 on a plaque to celebrate the anniversary of their library that had the words MAGA on them. It's a public library. And Chris Cluey went there, and I want to read what he said. He said he went to the city council right on the microphone, and this is what he said. MAGA stands for trying to erase trans people from existence. MAGA stands for resegregation and racism. MAGA stands for censorship and book bans. MAGA stands for firing air traffic controllers while planes are crashing. MAGA stands for firing the people overseeing our nuclear arsenal. That one's scary. MAGA stands for firing military veterans and those serving them at the VA, including canceling research on veteran suicide. MAGA stands for cutting funds to education, including for disabled children. MAGA is profoundly corrupt, unmistakably anti-democracy, and most importantly, MAGA is explicitly a Nazi movement. You may have replaced a swastika with a red hat, but that is what it is. And then, Chuck, he said, and now, in an American tradition, I do this. And he walked straight up to the city council, which is against the law in Huntington Beach, to leave the lectern and walk to them. And then when the police predictably grabbed him, because them's the rules in Huntington Beach, he dropped to the floor, civil disobedience, made it difficult for them to carry him out, went limp, and then spent, I believe he said, 4 hours in the pokey before his release. Now, Chuck, I give it to you, and I want your general comments, but I got to say in the back of my head, if an NFL former punter, with all respect, a former punter, by the way, who was diagnosed, but a former punter also who had very little physical contact, but still has had brain scans that have shown some difficulties and future difficulties there. If Chris, I know that because I know him and he's been public about that. If Chris Cluey can be that clear, where is the opposition party in this country saying something with equal clarity? Instead, we get nicknames from Hakeem Jeffries calling Trump Captain Chaos, which only makes him sound cooler, instead of doing what Chris Cluey did, which is just speaking truth to power, putting his body on the line. Your thoughts, Chuck?
I mean, I saw it and I loved it, you know, and because I hadn't thought about Chris Cluey in a while, really.
Yeah, it's been a minute.
It really has. And for those who aren't aware, Chris Cluey, who you have spoken with and you have written about, at the time there was a marriage equality movement, and he had some very incredible words on the matter that weren't taken well. And the next year, I casted a vote in Maryland for marriage equality. Proud of that vote. And this is before some of those laws changed. He also stood in solidarity with Trayvon. And I would also argue that a few years before Colin, he was Kaepernick before Colin and Eric Reed, I should say.
It's true.
But he's a punter, so you know, punters are kind of expendable and you have plausible deniability. But the point is, we have a little bit of a precedent that if you want to fight for social justice instead of just right and racism in an end zone, you're going to be find yourself out of the league. So this is Chris Cluey's history. So when I see him going off on at the city council, I'm like, this is great. And let's be clear about something, because, you know, people are pushing back. There's a Nazi movement. The Nazis are pushing back. I was in Charlottesville, okay? And when I was in Charlotte and other places, the first thing I noticed in Charlottesville, because I've been at a number of counter protests to Nazi rallies before Charlottesville, I've done this for a minute. I've never seen a president's hat at a Nazi rally prior to Charlottesville. You saw red hats. So if it's a Nazi, not a Nazi movement, why are Nazis wearing a hat? You know, so like you tell me what's going on here, right? So, you know, I'm tired of this discussion. You know, you have a discussion on when Elon puts up the Nazi sign, when he does that. And not only that, does that after inviting a bunch of Nazis back on Twitter, now called X. So, you know, I remember those. They all came back. He let them back. Everything he is doing before and after is consistent with his sign. That's a Nazi. You know, I don't wait. We can't wait for Nazis to confess their Nazis to define them as Nazis. We can't do it. We don't have that kind of time. We don't have that luxury. So I was very happy to see Chris Cluey. And to your point about the weak Democratic Party, it's going to have to come from the people. I mean, I've seen enough statements. Democratic Party is not here to fight at all in any way. And in many ways have emboldened this or passed even laws or joined the right wing, particularly around the ICE protests, particularly on the ICE raids, have joined the Republicans in that matter because they care about power and they're doing what they always do.
And I'll tell you something, let's pretend for a second that, and not that this would have happened, but let's pretend for a second that I remember there was a Nazi rally in DC in 2000 that we organized for, and it was amazing because we absolutely swamped them and they ran out of town. Would that those days could come again. Like, we didn't physically hurt them, but what we did was we occupied the space that they permitted with such numbers that the police couldn't hold us back, and they had to jump back on their buses under guard of police to leave town.
Yeah,
it was one of the great, and we actually replicated something very similar to that in, I believe it was 2015, I believe. Now, let's pretend for a second, because I just think this is funny. In 2000, if a lot of those Nazis were wearing Bob Dole hats, let's pretend that for a second.
Yeah.
Bob Dole, the 96 Republican.
That's right. Candidate.
It's not Bob Dole's fault that they're wearing them, but it is Bob Dole's fault if he doesn't then say, I totally disavow you wearing my hats. Instead, Trump says, we've got good people on
right.
both sides.
Right.
So that's the thing about it. It's the acceptance. It's the embrace of them embracing him, which makes it so dangerous, which gets to a real bone I have to pick on with some people on the left who are saying, you can't call Trump fascist. You can't call Elon fascist. We can call the Proud Boys that. We can call some of these other groups that. But you don't want to call them that because it overstates who they are. And it overstates their power. I hear that argument and I want to pull my hair out, because what it ignores are the deep connections that do exist between those on the grassroots of the hate movement and the highest echelons of the Trump administration. It's much more than just a salute at the inauguration. If you want to track the people working there, if you want to track the people getting special VIP invites into a White House that no longer records who the visitors are, I mean, Chuck, we got to open our eyes and see what's happening right in front of our faces, because vigilance is truly our only hope at this moment. And we can't pretend that this is normal business as usual.
Well, that's what happened. You said we can't pretend it's normal business as usual. Somewhere along the way, Trump became normal business as usual. Okay, so to your fascist question, of course he's fascist. Of course Elon is fascist. Now, let me just say something very clearly. In foreign policy, every president is fascist. Every president has been a war criminal. I have no problem saying that because I understand what the Geneva Convention is, right? And I could cite that, and we could have lawyers cite that. You know, you get both parties supporting a genocide. Let's be clear about that. I think what makes Trump a little bit different if he's domestically fascist in a way we've never seen before, in addition to the foreign policy. And there are two types of fascism, right? There's legal there's using your law and losing policy. And, you know, we're seeing a lot of that. And we've seen that elsewhere. And then he has a rhetorical fascism, right? So this is, and he has that rhetorical fascism, even when he's not president, that he has this ability to move, he's a mobilizer, right? Even before he ever became president, he mobilized the community on birtherism, which gave rise to his presidency. And he used that pulpit. And even when he wasn't president, Biden wasn't president, no politician could go locally and get anywhere without getting Trump's approval. So he has a double type of power that he doesn't even need to be president. And that works. And that is a fascist power. Like the second Biden lost an election, he lost 100% of his power. I mean, he has literally zero power. That's not the case with Trump. And I think sometimes we do have to acknowledge over what a rhetorical power is that he has in the pulpit and how he uses it, and uses it with help, I might say, from mass media, because they all make money off of it. So it's this collaboration of corporatism and capitalism that, okay, I'm going to keep giving Trump free publicity, which is how he became president the first time, because he gives us something back, good ratings. So all the news channels are going to have good ratings again. And that's, in a way, how Trump gets to control the agenda of what we talk about all the time.
And that row of tech billionaires, at the inauguration, to me, was just as chilling as Musk's salute. Because when have you ever seen that before at a presidential inauguration? The billionaires lined up behind him, from not just billionaires, but like true masters of the universe billionaires. And you get Jeff Bezos there, who owns the Washington Post, paying tribute to him. And then we learned this past week that the Washington Post accepted an ad calling on Musk to resign. And then it was rejected from on high. Gee, I guess who? Wonder who.
I just learned that. I've been working a lot. That's huge. Wow, good.
Yeah,
that's not good, but good you mentioned that. But that says a lot, does it not?
We got to mention it because it's local, too. I mean, the Washington Post, which, you know, people can certainly have their differences with the Washington Post over the years and how it's operated, et cetera, et cetera. But it was also the place that did expose Watergate. Do you honestly think that Jeff Bezos would allow such a story to emerge now?
Oh, of course.
That would
be the days of Katherine Graham.
Yeah, the days of Woodstock. They used to call it the house that Woodstock built. Back when Bob Woodward and Carl Bernstein were throwing fastballs.
You know, I was putting that together. As you were talking, I was putting that together. Thank you for that.
Woodstein. No problem. The house that Woodstein built, you know, and I'm not saying that it was ever, ever perfect, or that it didn't mimic pro-war positions, that its editorial page wasn't at times gross. George Will said things that I can't even repeat, you know, because they make me so mad. But this is different. This is power using the second most powerful newspaper in the country, and the first most powerful, the New York Times, is doing the same thing, to bend the knee. But that's what Chris Cluey, let's bring it back there. That's why what he did is so important. And I'm going to try to get Cluey for the collision, because I want him to be able to have the opportunity to represent himself.
That'd be great.
That'd be great
to get Cluey on. But it's representative also. You know, we're in D.C. They're protesting every single day. There's going to be one at 1 p.m. Today in D.C. There's going to be one Saturday. There's been
One at 1 p.m., Chuck? Let's let people know, and then let people know how they can support the collision.
Before we leave, I'm going to find the flyer, and I'm going to let you know exactly. But there are protests. So I'm going to make sure I get you that information. There are protests all around the country, on ICE, on federal workers being fired, on the ICE raids on Palestine. You know, there's a thought that the Palestine protests might die out in fear of Trump. The opposite has happened. They've been going hardcore, nonstop. So what you're seeing is protests, and you're also seeing people that I've never seen before ever talk about boycott. Like people that we talk about boycott all the time. How do we strategize? How do we punish a corporation for bending the knee to Trump? Or whatever, we do that. I'm saying people who I've never seen talk about boycott, all of a sudden, that's a tool. People are finding other tools. People are looking in different directions to see where there's power. I'm waiting for when the general strike is going to happen. But they're, you know, we're having those discussions on a mass level that I hadn't seen before. And so, some of the protests that are happening all around the country at the scale we've never seen before. So we have to start looking at every single tool in the tool shed of how we make change.
I got a message yesterday from a very cool person. I'll just say her first name, Laura. Lives out in the Pacific Northwest. We were good buddies in college. She has a very chill job organizing, like NGO stuff, like very much a person who's like zen, at peace, all that stuff. I get an all caps text from her yesterday. When is the bleeping general strike going to happen?
I said that?
Okay.
Very nice. Oh, yes. Very nice.
But isn't that something, though? Like, that's the last person I might have expected that from.
People I've never talked. You talk about general strike. You're a radical, right? That's how you were. Now people, they're like everyday people are talking about general strike because people's everyday livelihood has either been directly threatened or indirectly felt, you know, or you're afraid to get on a plane because he's firing traffic controllers and all of a sudden planes are crashing everywhere, you know. So literally everyone feels that. You just talked about a text you got. My job, I got a text from someone last night about a conference that's going next month. This is aside from the stuff we do, and saying, are you going to have this virtually? Because I don't know if I want to fly anymore. Like everyone who's flying is sort of like, I don't know. So it's touching people in a way that even if you're not directly touched, you're touched, right? Go ahead.
No. This is an amazing point. Although I would like to come in because you and I, man, Chuck, you and me could talk for 2 hours and it'll feel like 10 minutes. But I want to say to folks that if this discussion is at all invigorating to you, if learning about Chris Cluey is something you did not know before listening to this, the NFL punter who stood up in one of the scariest areas in this country, you wouldn't think of California, but Huntington Beach is a scary place to stand up to MAGA. Do trust me on that. And here's Chris Cluey, not only putting it in the face, I left out one part of the story, Chuck. Mm-hmm. He spoke with so much conviction that the crowd, even before he did the civil disobedience, broke out into incredible applause. People are so hungry for courage right now. And the reason why people, we left this out, Chuck, are talking about strikes is because of frustration with the opposition party, not just the Democrats, but even Republicans, like having a spine and actually saying something and doing something in the face of a president who's literally like, hello, legislative branch, you have no more power. And like, it's like, where's your pride? Where's your oath? Right. And there's such a frustration with people who are like, where is the oath, for goodness sakes? And so people are thinking, okay, they're not coming with us. We have to figure out a way to go around them because we can't just put up with what's happening. That's what Chris Cluey represents. And folks, if this is at all interesting to you, please support us here at The Collision and here at WPFW. 202-588-9739, WPFWFM.org. You heard what Chuck and I were talking about with regards to the occupied Washington Post of Jeff Bezos and the utter sellout New York Times, which currently is like, jeepers creepers, what would depopulating Gaza look like?
Oh my God.
Jeepers, could Canada be a 51st state? You know, actually giving these utterly, utterly unhinged executive orders credence and air and oxygen. And that's how a society moves to the right, when a media becomes complicit in things like this. We are not that at PFW.
Well, that's
and you know what? We need more of you to support us so we can stay unembedded on all fronts. I mean, we're always going to be unembedded, but we don't just want to survive. We want to thrive. 202-588-9739, WPFWFM.org, $5, $10, $20. Hey, maybe one of you can just be like, the goal is 500. Here's 500 bucks. Some of you got that lying around. Some of you don't. So do what you can. Support The Collision. It makes a huge difference. Chuck, only because you have such incredible experience over the years in not just supporting, but actually doing independent media, I would love to hear your thoughts about what makes WPFW important in this city, in this era of, as you said, regular protest?
Listen, before, you know, we were doing this show, when I was up before, you've been doing the show forever, before I joined years ago, and I might, you know, do spot guest visits. For years, there were only a couple of places that would show the DCC, what was really going on in the DCC during George Floyd, before George Floyd, that you could come in and talk about a Free Palestine protest. People don't know, we had tens of thousands in the streets in May of 2021 throughout. And you can talk about that at WPFW. The only other place you could really talk about it was By Any Means Necessary, which was Radio Sputnik at the time, and that you know, no longer exists, and they shut down. You couldn't get this, any of this, at the Washington Post. And Washington, D.C. in particular, has a stranglehold. The Washington Post has a stranglehold, which has always been a problem, but now is even more of a problem with Jeff Bezos, obviously, in Trump's pocket. And we had said that when he took over. We knew that capitalism and journalism doesn't mix anywhere, and that's always going to have conflict, inherent conflict, capitalism and journalism. But there's whole nother layers now, because what Trump has done is he cut out the bill. Don't get me wrong, billionaires have run both parties for a long time. He just cut out the middleman and said, all right, we're going to stop the disguise right now, and we're just going to go directly to the source and not keep it in the shadows.
No, Chuck, though, we got to also throw some hate on the name of John Roberts, though, with Citizens United, roadblocks we had. I think we're now starting to see that those, what we thought at the time correctly, were very lame roadblocks. We would rather have lame roadblocks than no roadblocks at all.
I would say Citizens United, if you have to pick one legal decision in the last, I don't know how many years, 50 years even, one legal decision that was the biggest game changer, it was Citizens United.
Amen.
And I remember, and I don't even like Keith Olbermann, but I remember he said something at the time on that day. I don't even like the dude, but he said something on that day that I always remembered. And what he said on that day is, you know what? All politicians are bought some of the time, and some politicians are bought all of the time. But in about 10 years or so, all politicians will be bought all of the time. That's what he said. And he wasn't that far off. Because when you have billionaires, particularly local politicians, you have billionaires who are going to flood it, that the only reason that your existence is because of them, we have a problem. We know AIPAC, for instance, whose funds opponents, like Cori Bush lost and why Jamal Bowman lost, we know that they almost have a 95% success rate in who they back. That if you're not going through AIPAC, now don't get me wrong, it used to be 100, so we made progress to get it down to 95. That's actually a big dent. But this is the sphere that we live in right now. And what you had mentioned about the media, coming back to why WPFW is so important, I never, ever remember the regular mainstream media, as awful as it always has been, as warmongering as it always has been, I never remember it at this point. Like you opened early. Could you imagine Washington Post today when, like under the Catherine Graham, having a Watergate? No, you can't imagine it. Now Bezos takes his ad off. Have you looked at the New York Times that you mentioned? It doesn't surprise me that they bend the knee to Trump, that they validate what Trump's executive orders are, because they've been saying lies about Gaza for the last 15 months, and we know what happens there is going to happen here. They have been the biggest say the word for me, DZ.
Apologist?
There you go. Apologist. You're always there for me. I appreciate you. The greatest apologist for Netanyahu and a genocide that has been going on. And it occurred to me that Trump's more, I don't think he has necessarily a different position, but he has a more honest position of what he's trying to do, because they were trying to do settlements before. His honest position that's also impacting New York Times to be on board with them. But if you go back and you follow, you know, whether it's the Iraq War and how New York Times sold the Iraq War, or if you follow even Nazis You remember the famous article, the Nazi Next Door article, where they're normalizing Nazis? New York Times is great at putting respectability on genocide and white supremacy, and it's a problem. And that's why you need independent media, like WPFW. Wow.
Much respect for you making that clear, Chuck. I mean, that was beautiful. That's what WPFW really is all about. And, you know, there is the negative argument, which is most media, particularly mainstream media, is complicit. We are not. And then there's the positive argument, which WPFW, people like Magic Mike, people like Katia Stitt, people like the incredible programmers who do the shows on WPFW, I mean, it's incredible. The jazz, the justice, the music, the talk. I mean, it really is wonderful. I mean, the book discussions that we have on here. My man Ethelbert, who precedes us. I mean, and to, you know, there are Pacifica stations in other parts of the country. But I would posit that having one here in Washington, D.C., that reaches with our transmitter all over the DMV and even to a little bit of Pennsylvania, I believe, is so important for this region. And that's why you got to support us, because we really matter as an institution here. And frankly, most of our listeners are folks who would have a big problem sending us $10 because they're on a budget. And we love you guys too, because we know you spread the word about us, even if you can't pony up. So pony up for somebody who can't pony up. 202-588-9739 or go to WPFWFM.org. We're at the bottom of the hour right now.
Hey, Dave, let's, you got a few pledges. Do you see them on the screen?
Oh, I don't. I don't, essay. Tell
me,
right, please.
We have Ibrahim from Chantilly, Virginia. Ronald from Clinton, Maryland. We have Irene from Bethesda and Joseph from Arlington. Looks like the DMV is tapping in.
Didn't I just say that, Mike?
Yeah, all we need.
We're not just DC.
About another $150 to go to get your
already
goal.
Already halfway through the show.
288-9739 or go straight to the website at WPFWFM.org and hit the big red donate now button.
202-588-9739, WPFWFM.org. Magic Mike, you're just going to have to be our ding, ding, ding carnival barker.
Oh, I got you, bro. I got you.
When we get some stuff, because I got to tell you, I love our listeners, man, because they understand the value of the show. And that recent folks that you said, Mike, it totally proves my point. We are not a DC station. We are a regional station.
And WBAI. Right.
WBAI in New York, that's important. Yep. But the regional aspect of WPFW was so important because of gentrification in Washington, D.C. We have seen working people pushed to the suburbs, in places in Virginia that are more affordable, in places in Maryland that are more affordable. And so we love all y'all because we know you're part of us. So let's go to break right now. Let's take that bottom of the hour station break. We'll be back in a moment, and we're finally going to let Chuck say a few words about the Super Bowl.
We never did talk about the Super Bowl, did we?
Which he's been waiting to do for a very hot minute. We tried to talk about it last week, and it turned into the Kendrick Lamar show. But there's some things about the game that are worth mentioning from that sports and politics perspective. We'll be back right after this here on The Collision. It's just me, myself, and I. Just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. It's just me, myself, and I. Now you tease my plug one style and my plug one spectacle. You say plug one and two are hippies. No, we're not just pure plug four. Always pushing that we formed an image. There's no need. When it comes to being plug one, it's just me, myself, and I. 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 Boom, we are back here on The Collision, where sports and politics collide. We love y'all. Keep, please, please, the dough coming in to support WPFW and The Collision. It makes a huge difference, especially when you give for somebody who, because of their living situation, is unable to do so. Anybody who's lived on a budget knows what I'm talking about. And if you are somebody whose budget is more flexible, more fungible, as it were, give for that person who's got to lock it down on point. So we're asking you to please keep giving. At the end of the show, we're going to let you know how we did. 202-588-9739. Please, WPFWFM.org. Magic Mike, who, by the way, I can see right now, and he's dressed like Han Solo in Empire Strikes Back. Man, like he's about to go out and fight some ice monsters or something.
The listeners are making it hot. They're burning it up. They're on fire. Because we got Gustavus from Bowie, Maryland, out in PG, and Anonymous. Finally, DC is tapping in. Let's go.
There we go. There we go. DC, we see you as well. Because we need a movement in DC right now, because Trump supported yesterday the total takeover of D.C. by the federal government. We've seen that story before in this town. It has taken mass movements to hold these folks back from controlling us and taking away even more of our democracy, the little that we do have in D.C. So let's just make it extremely clear about that. We need to build to beat the monsters back, even in Washington, D.C. Part of that is because home rule in D.C. is a legacy of the Black freedom struggle, and their efforts to erase the Black freedom struggle are frankly a hallmark of this administration as they eventually take aim at the 1964 Civil Rights Act. I'll bring it to you, back to you, Chuck, because I said we were going to talk about the Super Bowl. I promise we talk about the Super Bowl. There is a sports and politics element that I do think is still worth raising. Say what you want to say, Chuck. I'm giving you the floor. Then I'm going to take the floor and give you my sort of twist on the politics of the game. We're not going to say the words Kendrick Lamar once. If you wanted to hear that, go to the archives and hear last week's show. So go, Chuck, Super Bowl.
Sure. It's amazing, first of all, that so much is going on in the world. And at the Super Bowl, that we had a whole show after the Super Bowl and didn't talk about the Super Bowl. You know, we talked about the flag, Palestine flag, talked about Kendrick Lamar. We didn't talk about actual Super Bowl. But I, so I wanted to say a couple things, because I think Jalen Hurts in particular is significant. So shout out to Jalen. I'm a big Jalen Hurts fan. And what I could not understand for the life of me is how much hate this man received. If you're on social media, and this comes from his old fans too, Philadelphia Eagles, this man can win 12 games in a row, and he did. And maybe not have a great game, but manage a game and get the win and get blasted for not having enough passing yards on that given day. Not for the job he's doing. Should he score a touchdown with the tush push or the brotherly shove, which only three quarterbacks in the league do. And I'm going to tell you why only three quarterbacks in the league do. Josh Allen's one, you Lamar before Derrick Henry. But the point is that every time he does that, he puts his career at risk for injury. If you see some of those slow-mo videos and his body is twisted into a pretzel and he is doing that to get a touchdown and could end his career early, and the thanks he gets is that doesn't count because it's a one-yard touchdown push-push, a tush-push. Why isn't every quarterback doing that if it's so easy? He is doing that, and he gets credit for those 15 rushing touchdowns on top of his, like, 25 or 20 passing touchdowns. He has an incredible rating, an incredible year. He does it from both angles, and here's his significance. His significance is that he's actually really the first guy who comes in as a dual threat, that's known as a dual threat. You know, it doesn't mean no one could run. You know, Steve Young came at the end. He could still run a little bit. And won. And there's been a specific discrimination against dual threat quarterbacks, really up to the last couple of years. And there's, you can't win that way. It'll be with Lamar and with Jalen. But luckily, it helps that Josh Allen is white, and all of a sudden people care about rushing yards from the quarterback, right? These things are important because the dual threat quarterback has been discriminated against for years. And you could, and when we look at the history of first Lamar in the draft, where Bill Polian, a six-time executive of the award, executive of the year GM, says he's too short and says he should be changed to wide receiver. We see that Lamar, after he won the Heisman his rookie year, that was going on for years. And when we see Jalen, and there are people who put out tapes showing all this media saying, I just don't think he has what it takes. I don't think he's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. You know, Colin Cowherd, this crew. The doubters were everywhere. And he has to prove them wrong. And it's a shame that you have to do that, because if you play the white way, which is drop back, used to be anyway, and just throw, for years you had to fit in that mold. And if you stunk, it wouldn't harm you. So I see a significance to what Jalen did that's actually going to help all black dual threat quarterbacks.
Well, Chuck, I got to give pushback, on
do
one
it.
Thing that you said, though.
Yeah.
Because people, if you've seen the footage, know that Jalen Hurts is also freakishly strong,
yeah.
Which is one of the reasons he's able to do this in a way other quarterbacks are not.
Mm-hmm.
Second, I just want to say that, like, I'm really glad that Lamar doesn't do a tush push. Like, the yeah. injury rate for this is could be crazy if you're yeah. not built like Jalen Hurts. And then the last thing, Chuck, we got to give some dap to the people in the trenches, because the Eagles offensive yes. line is special.
Yes, it is.
And the center, the joke, and I don't think it's very funny, frankly, about former center Jason Kelsey, who's going to go to the Hall of Fame, mm-hmm. was he started his career 6'3" and ended his career 5'9" because of the tush push.
Is you that know? Right?
Yeah.
That's a joke, right?
Yeah,
that's
a joke. Yeah. Of course yeah. it's a joke.
Oh, but God, he lost 4 inches.
It takes a toll on the body,
yes.
you know, to do that play. And so, you know, you got to give credit to the line. And frankly, I give a lot of discredit to NFL defenses, because the Ravens actually showed a formula for stopping the tush push in their game this year.
Oh,
what
yeah?
they did was what I will call the reverse tush push, because they have an interior lineman named Michael Pierce who weighs 350, yeah, right. Like 350 is like the low weight for Michael Pierce. Don't even believe it. And the defense pushed into Michael Pierce.
mm-hmm.
No first down for Jalen Hurts. So, you know, I'm annoyed at NFL defenses for not figuring out, let's be clear, not every team is a Michael Pierce either. But you got to figure out then how to draft players who can do that, the same way teams are figuring out that in this era of freakishly talented NFL defensive players, you have to draft mobile quarterbacks or they're just going to be lunch back there. So I think that's the picture of it.
I don't know if you pushed back. You said we got to give credit to the Eagles offense. We absolutely have to give credit to the Eagles offensive line. They've been the standard for years, and that's been used against Jalen. Oh, anybody could do it behind the Eagles offensive line. Okay, well, I went to Pro Football Focus, who ranks offensive lines, and the second offensive line this year is the Denver Broncos. The third is the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and the fourth is the Detroit Lions. And I want to ask you, is Bo Nix, Baker Mayfield, or Jared Goff putting up 15 touchdowns a year? Are they doing it? Meaning, so if it's the offensive line, why aren't these other quarterbacks doing it when they have great offensive lines? They're not, with my point.
That's a tough one, but I would say different strokes for different folks, the way they judge those offensive lines. You know, sack rate, yards per carry, running backs, you know, their amount of time back to pass. That Eagles offensive line is built for Bear, for Saquon to run for 2,000 yards. And for Jalen to do the amazing runs that he did in the Super Bowl, you know, and then that's how you have a Super Bowl winning team. Like the matching of incredible athletes with people who know how to do personnel and make sure that and I can't believe I'm complimenting that meathead coach, Nick Sirianni, but you coach to your players. You don't make your players play to your system.
Yeah.
Well, and that's when their season turned around, was when they were like, okay, sorry, A.J. Brown, sorry, Devontae Smith, that we're going to actually play less of a passing style and more lean into the run.
But it's deeper than that. because I got to give a shout out to Howie Roseman, the GM for the Eagles. Howie Roseman did something almost revolutionary in the history of black quarterbacks. What he did is he saw a young black quarterback, not like a finished product, someone that there were doubts out about in his first year. And there was a lot of criticism of Jalen back then. Can he lead a team? And he said, you know what? I'm going to get this. I'm going to draft Devontae Smith, and then I'm going to get me Adrian Brown. Some weapons around him. And if you go through the history of the black quarterback, you go in Philly, and you look at how few weapons Donovan McNabb, outside of 1.5 years with T.O., he had a bunch of backup receivers, wide receivers, his entire career. You could go to Cam Newton outside of his first 2 years when he threw for 4,000 yards. Steve Smith, he had a bunch of backup receivers his entire career. Went to the Super Bowl with backups. And it was ridiculous that this happens a lot to black quarterbacks in particular. Work some magic. So when he did that to Jalen Hurts, that's a game. I promise you, if he didn't try to give you weapons, everyone would say Jalen sucks. You can't win without weapons. That is a fact for white quarterbacks. It's a fact for black quarterbacks. You need weapons. And we have to stop asking black quarterbacks to be Superman and give them the same support. And that's what Howie Roseman did. And by doing so and having faith and not falling the stereotypes of a black quarterback, he also is a player who's help the future and people could get a fair shake with on the meritocracy of who's the best quarterback.
And also my other political slant on this, and then we need to talk to you more about WPFW for sure. And what I'm about to say might actually prevent people from calling in, but please hear what I'm saying. I am not an Eagles fan. DC Commanders, Baltimore Ravens, you know, I'm true to my region. Please know that. But the Eagles are a team whose ownership is no friend to Donald Trump's. And for all I know, the owner, Jeffrey Lurie, will bend the knee, as a lot of these plutocrats do, and make at least representatives of the team come to the White House. But we can't forget that the last time the Eagles won the Super Bowl, the Eagles also refused to go to the White House. And you remember the hilarious thing where they weren't going to go, and then Trump said, well, you're not invited. You know, it's like you can't quit, you're fired, you know, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And so I think that's important, too. And that's one of the reasons why Trump, you know, because of he's such a thin skinned baby, very loudly picked the Chiefs before the game. And so to have the Eagles not just win, but dominate to the point where Trump left the game at halftime. And, you know, Trump, if the Chiefs had won, would have been on that field with the players, holding up the Lombardi Trophy with their owner, Lamar Hunt, who, by the way, is part of the H.L. Hunt family, one of the most disgusting, repellent, oligarchic families in the history of the United States. If y'all want to look up H.L. Hunt, go right ahead. So this is what he was an oil baron. So this is what we're dealing with the Kansas City Chiefs and how Trump would have exploited their victory. In order to stand there, he probably would have said something disgusting to Taylor Swift right in the middle on the 50-yard line. He waited till late that night on his idiotic Twitter feed or whatever it's called to write something disgusting about Taylor Swift. And it's a sexist that he is. And it's just, this is who he is. And the fact that the Eagles shoved it in his face, the fact that Jalen Hurts before the game, unlike Patrick Mahomes, and unlike Travis Kelce, did the whole thing of, you know, Jalen Hurts was like totally unimpressed that Trump was going to be at the game and totally rolled his eyes. Yeah. While Mahomes and Kelce, and please let us not forget Travis Kelce is Taylor Swift's significant other. Oh. Travis Kelce said all the nice things and Trump still trashed her afterwards. Yeah. If I was Taylor, I'd be like, let me get on Hinge or something. Let me get on something.
You know, Travis is disappointing. You know, I don't know for what it's worth. When Travis Kelce had a black girlfriend, he was kneeing, taking a knee in solidarity with Colin Kaepernick. And nowadays he's saying, "Yeah, I'm honored that Trump is here. If the president comes, come on, Travis." So I don't know. You know, I don't want to. I do think a lot of the critique of Taylor Swift trying to do the yoga and things are very unfair. That happens, but. You know, I like the old Travis better.
Who doesn't? But I'm not a Taylor Swift hater either. And that's how you know I have a, I have a daughter. So, yo, we got to bring it back to WPFW. And let me repeat before people choose to call in or not that I am not a fan of the Philadelphia Eagles. Yeah. I can't repeat that loudly enough. But I do love the fact that their Swift victory made Donald Trump cry.
Hey,
guys, we got a couple more people that joined the collision team and donated to the show. We have Renee from Washington, D.C., who generously pledged to the show, and Anonymous from Woodbridge, Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Good.
Woodbridge.
We're almost there, guys. We're almost there.
We're almost there. Listen, I appreciate that. Hey, D.C., do we got time for me to make one more Super Bowl point?
Yes, absolutely. We absolutely do. Go for it. And then
he was
you make your point. This is the plan. You're going to make your point, and as you do it, people are going to call 202-588-9739 or go to WPFWFM.org, and then Magic Mike is going to give us the final tally. I am so excited to hear this. I have no idea. And for all I know, Magic Mike is going to say, Dave, we didn't reach our goals. And that's okay, too, because I have a feeling because so many of you gave, that means so much to us here on The Collision. I'm so excited to hear what our goal is going to be just because of the numbers of people who are giving a darn about not just the work we do, Chuck, but the work of this amazing station. Chuck, make your point, please.
I'm going to make a Super Bowl point you probably heard nowhere at no station. And here's what it is. Eric Bieniemy has done dirty. And what has happened is he's done very, very dirty by the league. But what if you look at under the hood, you'll find out the Kansas City Chiefs the last 2 years have had an offensive problem. They got 8 points worse. They went from the number one offense to the number 15 offense the last 2 years without Eric Bieniemy. But we didn't notice because their defense went from number 16 to number two. So the last 2 years, their defense has been carrying him. So while they won that Super Bowl, you're like, well, who needs Eric Bieniemy? Well, guess what? When Eric Bieniemy was there for five straight years, they score in 82 games, they scored over 30 points a game. And then 32 points a game in all of the playoffs. And then he leaves, and then they go down to 22 points a game and 23 points a game. He's worth 8 points. And that's what we see people didn't notice. And he, guess what? When Mahomes won his last MVP with Bieniemy, Tyreek Hill was gone. He was gone. So Tyreek Hill left, and they didn't miss a beat. And then I need to say one last thing for the D.C. people. So then you give him a fifth-round draft pick over here in D.C.? Did you see the two halves Jacoby Brissett came in? He came in those Commanders games and balled out on the same games that Sam Howell was doing terribly. So this was an indictment of Sam Howell. But when Jacoby Brissett came in, they did well, and they were going about to start Jacoby Brissett, but the new ownership said, nah. I don't know if they were trying to screw Eric Bieniemy, maybe as much as get a high draft pick so you could get Jaden Daniels. But the point is that all of this happening has screwed one of the best offensive coordinators ever in football, and he should be a head coach now, not a running back coach.
Make that play. Well, I love that point, Coach. I mean, I'm sorry, Coach. My God, I was texting with Kevin McNutt earlier today. Shout out, Coach McNutt. Chuck, you're making a great point there about Bieniemy, and one I might have to amplify to other folks because it's so interesting to me that the perspective on Bieniemy has been, well, he didn't do well here, he didn't do well here. It must have just been Mahomes and Reed, like that level of disrespect. The statistics definitely say otherwise. And also, it's a very football ignorance to not think that maybe a coordinator can make magic with a quarterback in a way that's really special. Frankly, the way you've seen Ben Johnson in Detroit make magic with Jared Goff, and I'm really curious to see if Ben Johnson can replicate that, because sometimes that's just how it works. So the level of disrespect has been really intense. Eric Bieniemy should be the heir apparent in Kansas City. That's what he should be now.
And let's be real. Every white offense, all the NFL writers get real excited about them. It's the most racist stuff ever, and we need to call it out. But Eric Bieniemy, he doesn't interview well. I don't care if he interviews well. His offense scores 30 points a game. That's the damn interview.
Ooh, Chuck, getting mad. But 10:54, Magic Mike, Now is the time. I'm crossing my fingers.
Yes,
I'm
yes, yes. Now is the time. I want to congratulate you fellas, man. Anonymous for Washington, D.C. got you over the limit. And congratulations.
What's our number?
You are $115 over your goal. We did $615.
Wow. I'm so happy right now. Thank you so much, Mike. Thank you so much, Chuck. For everybody out there, please stay frosty. We are out of here. Peace. It once was a story about a man named Jed, but now Jed is dead. All his kids instead want to kick rhymes up the top of their head. Word, we'll go around, come around, I figure. Now we got one. All people in the United States have rights, regardless of immigration status. Knowing our rights is the first step to keeping us safe against the U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement, ICE, or other law enforcement violators of our rights as citizens and immigrants. Guide to protect your rights. 1. Identify emergency contacts and memorize their numbers. 2. Stay calm if approached by ICE or other law enforcement. Do not run, argue, resist, or fight. 3. You have the right to remain silent. 4. You have the right to speak to a lawyer and don't sign anything until you discuss it with a lawyer. 5. If at home, you have the right to refuse entry unless presented with a judicial warrant signed by a judge. An ICE warrant does not allow entry into your home. 6. You have the right to an interpreter. WPFW, defending hard-won human rights, building a more just world, one broadcast at a time.
For close to 50 years, WPFW has amplified the voices, told the stories, and shared the history and culture of Black people throughout the diaspora. In short, we are Black history. Black is WPFW. Texting WPFWFM to 801-801 will help to protect this medium in the Black radical tradition so that we can continue to chronicle Black hope, sorrow, and resistance.
Whether it's the courage to tell the truth about displacement, apartheid, and genocide, or our commitment to presenting jazz and all of its extensions, as well as other liberatory musical forms, blues, hip-hop, house, WPFW has been an unwavering partner in the fight for social justice and the preservation of the culture. Now's the time for you to display your courage and commitment to truly independent press by donating during our Winter Pledge Drive from February 9th through the 22nd. It is with your generous financial support that WPFW, this emancipatory educational media outlet, continues to build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Diversity Fund is a grassroots grant source for changemakers of color in the nation's capital. We fund social justice work by and for D.C. people of the global majority. The deadline for submissions is Friday, March 21st. Details and application information are available at www.diversityfund.org. You can send questions to info@diversityfund.org. Upcoming info session dates and recordings are accessible online at www.diversityfund.org. The phone number for further information is 202-743-0130. That's 202-743-0130.
Greetings. WPFW is pleased to announce the relaunch of our major donor program, now known as the Jazz and Justice Circle. If you gave $1,000 last year or so far this year, you are automatically enrolled in this cherished group of listener members, and we thank you. Benefits of your membership are at wpfwfm.org under the Support Us tab at the top of the homepage is the Jazz and Justice Circle. Interested in joining this select group? please consider a donation of $1,000 or more online at WPFWFM.org. Your donation helps WPFW build a better world, one broadcast at a time.
Wondering how to get WPFW swag in your life?